Hello, Mariam. It's good to have you here. So, at first, we would like to touch the subject of foreign agent love. OC Media did refuse register as a foreign agent. How has this decision affected your daily operations and stuff?
So, first of all, what we need to say is that the government hasn't enforced this law. It is in force, it is active, everything is signed. They can use this law, but they are not. So, what I mean by that is that those who did not register but were supposed to register were supposed to be fined. And if they would use this law when it came to force, which was before the election, actually, we would have faced more than 100,000 lari's amount of fine, but they didn't do it. I am not sure why, but I have a feeling that if this government manages to stay in power, they're going to start using this law at some point against media and against civil society organizations. What, however, affected our work was actually preparing for this law. So, a lot of media organizations and a lot of civil society organizations had to plan how would they coexist with this law. So it was whether they would register some new organization like LTD or become for-profit, for example, or some people registered abroad to move their operations from here and so on. Due to security reasons, I still will avoid what we did, but we also had to go through quite a lot of like these technical things, a lot of consultations with lawyers, a lot of like financial recommendations what to do if this law will be enacted. But for now, it's not, but it's there for the government to use at any moment.
But you said you are not fined, but I read there is a risk of criminal prosecution.
Yes.
Do you
So
afraid of that?
there is so when the government was adopting this law, the draft that we saw initially did not foresee criminal law responsibility for individuals. I mean, people who are, for example, directors of these organizations. And they brought this new version on in the third reading without anyone knowing. Yeah, there is such risk, of course, but the way I look at it is they are not going to do it against everyone. If they don't like someone specifically, they may use this clause against them or some other law, because we had experience of, for example, the head of big opposition TV channel, Tavari, former head, it was Nika Gvaramia. There was a very similar case where the court sentenced him to 5 years in jail because of some kind of very specific risks of him being the head of the TV channel. It's very this clause is very similar to what happened with him. And with or without this law, my personal impression is that if the government doesn't like, let's say, Transparency International, Georgia, and they do not like them, they are going to use any measures to create some problems for them. And for example, even without the foreign agent law, briefly before the election, some anti-corruption bureau declared Transparency International as an election subject or something, which was crazy. And they could have used the foreign agent law for this, but they didn't. And this just proved what I'm saying, that if government doesn't like someone, they will find ways to deal with them. But I don't believe that they will be going after every single non-government organization or every single media organization to arrest them with this criminal law clause that is in this law.
But is there some broader impact on the whole media industry?
Obviously, it's a huge problem. This law exists. The whole existence of this law is a problem. It's very anti-democratic law, And we saw what this law does to media and civil society in Russia, in Belarus, in other places where this law has been adopted. So for now, we haven't seen the actual effects of this law, but again, it exists, and if the government will decide that the next step is to silence independent media, they can easily just start going into our organizations and just announcing that we have to pay all these fines that we didn't pay since October 2023 or whatever, or find some other ways to just crush us. So obviously it's a problem. This law should be cancelled, but there are... it's not only about this law. There are so many things happening in this country that this government did that just abolishing this specific law would not change anything. This is clearly an authoritarian regime. And with or without this law, like they are deteriorating the situation of freedom of expression, freedom of speech, freedom of assembly has deteriorated extremely. And the laws is just the second level of this. The first one is just somebody out there in Georgia interim government deciding to restrict our rights in different
ways. But maybe it can lead to some self-censorship of media, because okay, they are not finding media yet, but media are living on this situation that maybe next day there will be fine or even criminal prosecution.
Self-censorship in this case would not help, because the law says that if more than 20% of your funding is coming from the foreign donors, you are supposed to be you registering in the foreign agent law database. And when we look at the market, like 99% of online media who is independent media is relying on foreign funding. So they are all supposed to register in this database. And as far as I know, nobody has, no big influential online media outlet has registered in this database. When we talk about self-censorship, in this case, I don't see a risk, but then we have so-called anti-LGBT law, which the government adopted. And in this case, maybe we will have some media outlets deciding to publish less on queer rights, thinking that government may come and fine them or may come and censor them. I haven't seen it yet, but of course, when you have this oppressive laws, there is always a risk of self-censorship. But at the moment, I don't see it happening.
But if we are speaking about the whole media landscape in Georgia, how can you describe it? It's very polarized.
It is polarized, especially when it comes to TV sphere, because in the TV channels, the situation is it's quite bad in terms of like funding. When we speak about opposition TV channels, and their existence is actually under question now, as we hear that two actually big opposition TV channels may even close. And we do have polarization. You can clearly, like when we speak about this or the other TV channel, you can clearly say who they are supporting or who they are leaning to. They are pro-opposition or pro-government. I mean, having this choice of having opposition and pro-government channels is still better than not having them. And unfortunately, we are facing this crisis there in the TV sphere. And still, to give you the idea, more than 70% of Georgian population still says that they receive their information from TV channels. Sadly, the polarization is high. And the thing is that since, I think, 2018, the government decided to boycott the opposition TV channels. So they never go to the opposition TV channels to speak. And the other way around, the government channels never invite opposition or activists or anyone except the very pro-government people to speak at their channels. And obviously, this is helping to increase the level of polarization. When it comes to online media, for us, it has become extremely challenging to have some kind of opportunity to interview government people. So they are using different measures. For example, lately, in the past 1 year, the Speaker of Parliament has been banning online media to go inside the parliament and cover, like, we for the 2 months that they were discussing foreign agent law, online media was banned from going, all of us, from going into the parliament and asking questions to the parliamentarians, to the legislators. They never allow us to give us interviews. The only channel for us to ask questions to the government people and Georgian Dream members is when they stand somewhere to give comments on a briefing or a quick comment in the street. And very often, if you ask critical questions, then you will get either insulted or ignored, or you will receive some kind of not full answer. So it's very challenging to fight also this polarization when you are not allowed, when you don't have the opportunity to report the whole picture like that. But
But
yeah, it,
you described how opposition media are ignored from the government side. But is there some specific attacks on oppositional media?
absolutely. I mean, all the time in different ways, especially TV crews are one of the main targets in the streets. When we had this protest here from 28th of November going on with these dispersals, we had quite a lot of TV channel camera operators and hosts being attacked very brutally and live when they were covering live the protest. And we think that it was like a direct message to other media, like to terrorize them. But on top of that, from the years on, there has been different kinds of pressures. For example, by fining them, or like this ownership cases in the courts to kind of change the leadership in the in this opposition TV channels. And now, when I mentioned that one of the TV channels may shut down, is that one of the owners is how to say, they were accused by the other founders of the TV channel that they were bought by Georgian Dream. So, I mean, there are many attempts to kind of attack and take over the or weaken the opposition TV channels that there are out, still out there.
But how could you describe the level of freedom of speech in Georgia? I mean, of course, there are attacks on independent media, but on the other hand, they are still working.
Yeah.
So there, it's not like in Russia or Belarus
No,
where.
no, we are free to report whatever we want so far. It's just it's much worse than it was before. First of all, physical security is one of the major concerns we have. There were more than 100 cases of journalists being attacked, injured, or arrested, or their equipment seized and damaged in the 10 days after 28th of November. Then the legislation that I mentioned, the legislative framework for the media to exist, has changed a lot, including for the broadcasters. For example, more than a year ago, they adopted this amendment in the law on broadcasting, which criminalized broadcasting something called obscenity. It's for the TV channels specifically, and it's a very wide term which can be used against TV channels. Then they gave a lot of power to the Communications Commission, which is very pro-government body, and they have been using different measures to fine specifically opposition TV channels very often, especially during the election campaign. But despite all of these things, despite the hate campaign, despite the attacks and different things that has been going on, so far, journalists and media outlets are reporting what they want. We haven't had, anyone being self-censoring themselves because of whatever the environment we have, or we haven't had like this direct interfering from the government into this opposition TV channels. So yeah, I mean, there is freedom of speech, but it's under a huge danger at the moment.
But what is the position of a public broadcaster? For example, in the protests in Georgia, there were complaints they are not covering it at all.
So public broadcaster is very government pro-government leaning. The board has a lot of the board of the public broadcaster has a lot of people who are pro-government supporters. When the protest started, every day there was a protest outside the public broadcaster. We still have protests every day, yesterday, today as well. There is planned at 7 p.m. Where they demand from the public broadcaster to like cover protests, cover what is happening in the country properly. It worked in the beginning. Up until now, they were allocating 1 hour every day to invite guests from the protests, from the civil society organizations, from media to freely speak about what is going on. But a few days ago, they stopped it. And now the protests have resumed to demand this airtime every day that they managed to get via protests to give some proper coverage of what is going on. But yeah, public broadcaster hasn't been free and independent in a while now.
But IMEDI TV, which is most popular channel in Georgia, there are not protests at all, yes?
Yeah, there are not protests because it's basically government propaganda. Public broadcaster is different because they are obviously funded by people's money. And that's why people have the demand from them give voice to people. But when we speak about IMEDI, I think I can say that it's a lost cause because it's not just pro-government, it's creating different reality. So if you watch IMEDI TV, you will not know what is actually happening in the country. And they are kind of feeding this conspiracy theories that the Georgian Dream came up with, for example, about the Global War Party or this deep state and things that they are saying, and spreading this LGBT propaganda. But at the same time, to give you the idea, for example, months ago, there was this case when three people died because of an accident in the railway, and they did not report about it. When something tragic happens, but it's not political per se, they don't report it. They want to present that it's a good reality and nothing bad is happening. It's very dictatorial thing that they are doing there, that as if everything is fine and ignoring everything bad. So yeah, I mean, for me, IMEDI TV is a lost cause. I don't think anyone thinks that they can change with this government. So there are no protests. There was one tiny protest there, but they demanded solidarity for the journalists who were beaten during the protest, but yeah, it was tiny.
But how could you explain why they are most popular TV channel in Georgia?
Because they have a huge amount of resources, so they have very fancy entertainment shows, and this is how they kind of attract viewers. And then also they have the coverage all over Georgia, and I mean, this is how some people don't have access to other channels and so on, and they just watch this. But yeah, if we talk about IMEDI TV and their income per month, if IMEDI has 10 million lari income in 1 month, the biggest opposition TV channel Tabari has nearly 1 million. So you can just see what's the difference and how can that influence their viewers?
Do you think there is some Russia's impact on media, some media in Georgia?
I mean, the pro-government channel ones. I think it's just the narratives that they are broadcasting is very similar to Russia, especially when we talk about LGBT propaganda and anti-Western narratives. The messages are quite similar to what Russia has and what Russian channels do and what Russian propagandists are saying. It's very similar.
Yeah, and if we are looking forward, And we all know the current political situation. How do you see the future of independent media in Georgia? Will it be more tough than it's now, or?
Yeah, so if Georgian Dream stays in power, and I'm saying this because the protests are not over, it's still ongoing process. I don't think that it's over yet, this whole situation. So if despite the protests somehow Georgian Dream stays in power, I think it will mean that existing here as an independent media will become much harder than it was. I don't think people will massively start leaving, but I think some, like as I mentioned, some organizations may will have to move operations abroad or find some other ways to operate from here just to somehow manage to exist in this legislative framework that there is out there. But in the long-term perspective, I think the path will be very similar to what Belarus and Russia had, like eventually shutting down and fleeing. If they are arrested, they will start arresting people, obviously then. But I don't think it will happen soon, and I don't think this is what the government is planning to do right now. But I mean, they are clearly a very unknown democratic government, and the signs of non-democratic government is to, in the end, just go after civil society and media organizations. So at some point, maybe it will be impossible to be here. Yeah, but let's see how it goes.